Yeah, morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Lamed Zayin. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Yechonish Maslibik Avela Bashmol. We are starting today on the very top of Lamed Vav Amid Beis. We started the new parak yesterday. Let me just recap the parak outside, and then we'll continue. We'll continue in the Gemara inside. In the beginning of the fourth parak, the Mishnah talked about an animal that just went after other animals multiple times. For the purpose of illustrating the Mishnah is talking about where the animal, even though it did so successfully, and even though it did so four times, it damaged three times, the animal is going to remain a tam. Rashi, in the first Rashi, the Mishnah dealt with the basic issue of how could that be? How can the animal be hitting so many times and still be considered a tam? Rashi addresses that issue. For our purpose, the Mishnah is making a specific point, and that's why the Mishnah is speaking specifically about an animal that remains a tam. Now, when you have an animal which is a tam doing damage, so that means that you pay chatzi nezik, and it's migufo, it comes from the animal itself. The payment comes from the animal itself. The animal serves as a cap in terms of establishing what the ceiling of the payment is going to be, irrespective of how much damage it is. And also, the animal itself is going to be the source of income for that. Now, when we say the animal is going to be the source of income, so there are two ways we could say it. We could say it like Rabbi Akiva, we could say it like Rabbi Shmuel. If we say it like Rabbi Akiva, it is the most extreme way to say it, and that is that the Nizak becomes a partner in the animal. The Nizak de facto now has shares in the animal. How much share? So he's now a 50% shareholder of the animal. So that half the animal now is going to be subscribed to him. Now, even though I say half the animal, really, of course, it's going to be dependent on the amount of damage that was done. But for the purpose of illustrating our point over here, let's just keep it nice and simple and consistent, and that is that he becomes a 50% shareholder. So that's why the Mishnah keeps illustrating time and again where the animal was valued at 200. It did $200 worth of damage, and so therefore now the Nizak becomes a 50% shareholder now in the animal. That's the case the Mishnah keeps giving us because it's nice, it's simple, it keeps the whole thing moving, so to say. And now, that's how Rabbi Akiva would view it, is that the Nizak becomes a partner. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not that extreme. Rabbi Shmuel says that the animal is the animal that does the damage is not... Let me say it the other way. The Nizak does not become a de facto partner in the animal. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the animal is just simply backing it, securing the obligation that the Mazik owes the Nizak. So it's a lien, that's all. It's not he does not become a de facto partner. So this is a machlokus that we saw the first time in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Gimel. This is a question of Mukhlat Hashor or Yusam Hashor. And so this is a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion of Yuchlat Hashor, which means literally Behechlet, definitively, the Nizek becomes a de facto partner. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Yusam Hashor. The Shor is just there. We appraise the shore. We find out how much it's worth. It will cap the amount that the mazik owes in Nizak. It'll secure the obligation. It becomes like almost like an apotiki, like a specified lien against the obligation. But the Nizak does not own the animal. Okay, adkan. That's the basics. And then the Mishnah illustrated a scenario in which the animal damaged and damaged and damaged. It damaged three separate times to three separate people. And basically now, based on the construct of whether you subscribe to Rabbi Kiva or whether you subscribe to Rabbi Shmuel, what's going to be the consequence of liability for each time that the animal damages? And according to the Mishnah, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. What we're going to see in the Gemara is that the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is essentially the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to explain in just a moment. Now, in the Mishnah, the animal damaged once, and then damaged a second time, and then damaged a third time. Every single time, it did $200 worth of damage. And so now, according to Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah, which we don't yet understand, which we're going to, the first thing we're going to do this morning after the introduction is we're going to explain the opinion of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah says, well, here's basically the payment schedule. Who's going to get paid? First, the last person's going to get paid, the third Nizak, then the second, and then the first. we pointed out, and that's what we're going to start with in just a moment, is that that doesn't make any sense. If Rav Meir subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel, which effectively we're going to say he does, if Rav Meir subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel, so then basically the first Nizak is the first mortgage holder, the second Nizak is the second mortgage holder, and the third Nizak is the third mortgage holder. And so for following mortgages, we know that first you pay the first mortgage, then you pay the second mortgage, and then you pay the third mortgage. So really the first Nizak should be paid first. And so we're going to ask that question momentarily in the Shita of Reb Meir. Okay. And then the Mishnah brought in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, look, it's very easy. It isn't very easy, but once you understand the basic idea, it is very easy. In that according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon basically operates with the Rabbi Kiva model, which is that if you are a Nizak, and you've been damaged by a short time, you become now a partner in the animal. And again, because in every case in our Mishnah, it's $200 worth of damage off a $200 animal, so therefore you become now a 50% partner in the animal. Now, the only part that's a little tricky and a little bit, I guess you can call it strange, is that you, the Nizak, now because you become a partner in the animal, not only do you benefit because now you're a 50% partner, but you're also going to have to be responsible for any subsequent liability that takes place with that animal. Meaning if that animal goes out and damages again, you, the Nizak, because you're 50% owner of that animal, you're also going to be responsible for your 50%. Which means then that if that animal damages again, the 50% owner is going to be having to pay half the damages of his 50% share. And so basically now, the Mishnah illustrated a scenario according to Rabbi Shimon, where it's the same scenario for both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, but for Rabbi Shimon, here's how it would play out. First time it damaged, so now the animal gets split between the Balaam and the Nizak. Balaam keeps 100 of the animal, the Nizak gets 100. But before the animal was sold and everything was divided, it damaged a second time. The second damaged party gets 100, because that's what he's entitled to. And as far as the first 100, well, that's going to get split between the owner and the first Nizak. And then it damages a third time. So now when it damages a third time, the third damaged party is going to be receiving 100, because again, that's what he's entitled to. But now, keep in mind that there are the original owner, the first damaged party, who's also an owner, and the second damaged party, who is also an owner in the animal. Meaning, if you keep playing it along, you realize that every animal, every party that gets damaged, now becomes a de facto owner in it. So, in the event where now it goes after a third animal, so the owner of the third animal is going to get 100. The previous damaged party is going to get 50, and the first two are going to get 25 each. That is how the Mishnah lays out the structure of this is the payment schedule according to Rabbi Shimon in such a scenario. Fine. And Rabbi Shimon certainly agrees with Rabbi Kiva. This is all based on partnership in the animal when you are the damaged party. Now we go back and we turn our attention back to Rav Meir, and we're going to pick it up now in the Gemara where we left off yesterday. And basically, we're going to scratch our head and we're going to try to figure out Rav Meir. Because according to Rav Meir, clearly he doesn't operate with Rabbi Kiva's understanding. You do not become a partner when the animal damages you. The animal is just there to secure the obligation. So it should be, according to Rav Meir, the first damaged party should get paid first, then the second, and then the third. And that's not the schedule brought in the Mishnah. In fact, it's just the opposite. And we're going to try to figure out why that should be. The Gemara asked a question on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. I'll just repeat the Gemara's question, and then we'll read the answer. Mas Nisamani, who is the Mishnah following like? Delok Rabbi Shmuel, Delok Rabbi Kiva, Ik Rabbi Shmuel, Dam Rabbi Balei Chovos Nenu, Hayachron Acharon, Niskar Rishon, Niskar Mibayilei. If he's operating with Rabbi Shmuel's understanding, where the animal is simply serving as security, so therefore it shouldn't be 3-2-1, it should be 1-2-3. And Ik Rabbi Akiva, Dam Ratur Deshutfehu. And if you're telling me that it is a partnership like Rabbi Akiva, so Hayesh Ba Moser Yachzir L'Shalafanav L'Kula Mibayilei. Well, then, in terms of the payment schedule, the payment schedule should follow the way Rabbi Shimon presented in the Mishnah, and it doesn't. And according to Rav Meir, it doesn't follow that pattern. So Amar Rava. So therefore, here we go, an attempt to understand Rav Meir. So the Gemara is going to give basically one approach. Amar Rava L'Olam Rabbi Shmuel Dam Rabbi Lechovas Ninu. We're on the very top of Lamed Vav. Really, we're holding like Rabbi Shmuel, meaning we. Rabbi Meir is holding like Rabbi Shmuel. And truth be told is that it is a... It's considered security against the obligation. And then that brings us to the question of, well, then the payment shouldn't be 3-2-1, it should be 1-2-3. The first damaged party is the first mortgage holder. The second damaged party is the second mortgage holder. So why are we paying out in the schedule 3-2-1? We should be paying 1-2-3. And if this question bothers you, so the Gemara says, well, that our Mishnah is talking about this very specific scenario, and that is the following. The first party got damaged. Okay. What did he do? He grabbed the animal. Now, why did he grab the animal? Because he knows that's how he's getting paid. Now, he's not entitled to the full animal, as we've already discussed now a number of times. He's only entitled to half the animal. But his grabbing of the animal is just simply saying, I know this is the source of my payment. I've got to take care of it. It is what's going to pay me. So he grabbed the animal and he's watching the animal. That makes him a shomer. Fine. It actually makes him what's called a shomer sachar. Now this is a tricky point that the Gemara is making right now. Tricky, just tricky to understand. Not. I don't mean deceptive. Shomer sachar. Now he's not getting paid for watching it. He's getting benefit for watching it. Meaning that he's owed money. This is the source of his income. He just wants to make sure that it's taken care of. But as we'll learn later in the Masechta, and we're saying it right now as well, for benefit alone, you can be called a Shomer Sachar. Meaning Shomer Sachar doesn't mean that you need actual income in order to watch it. Shomer Sachar means that as long as there's some sort of benefit in watching it, you can be called a Shomer Sachar. Right. Well, I'll give you a simple example. We're going to be discussing it later in the Masechta. Let's say you're watching an animal, and in doing so, you don't have to answer the door in order to pay tzedakah collectors. So this is what's called Pruta de Rav Yosef. It's a famous case coming up later in the Masechta. So it's debatable, but according to some opinions, that is called a Shomer Sachar. Meaning because you don't have to take money out of your pocket, because it saves you money, it's called the Shomer Sachar. So here, the Gemara, this is Rava's point is here, similarly, even though you're not getting paid to watch the animal, but because you are now protecting your source of income, you can be called the Shomer Sachar.
But the benefit it would have gotten anyways, so it should be on top of it.
I understand. It's not a tangible benefit. I agree. It's a subtle point of the Gemara. But okay, we're just speaking it out. So Nasalaf Kishomer Sachar, and by the way, that's probably why the Gemara writes it very carefully. The Gemara says you are Kishomer Sachar. You're like a Shomer Sachar. Now, again, that chaf always is tricky because we're comparing it to a Shomer Sachar and we're saying you are a Shomer Sachar. Well, which one is it? Are we comparing you to a Shomer Sachar? Are we saying you're a Shomer Sachar? Fine. So the Gemara says, "E hachi yesh ba." So, and that means as follows. Now let's speak this out. So that means as follows. So that means that the first person, so again, the case is there's an owner, there's a first damage party, second damage party, third damage party. So, first damage party gets it. And it, right, his ox gets hit. So he takes the owner's ox to watch it, so to make sure that he knows it's going to be the source of his income, of his reimbursement. So therefore, he watches it. Once he takes it onto his property, he now becomes fully liable for it. Meaning, he is a shomer, and he now takes on the full liability for the damage that it does. Now it damages another animal. Now, damage is another animal, so who's on the hook? The owner or the shomer? The shomer's on the hook. Whenever I give an animal over to a shomer to watch, and the animal damages while under the shomer's care, it becomes the shomer's liability. Here, same thing. It becomes the shomer's liability. So now it hits the second party. So the second party does exactly what the first party did. Takes the animal because he knows that the animal is going to be the source of income. And now the second party becomes the shomer. Now it damages the third party. So now, who's going to be liable? Well, the third party is going to be liable. And who's going to be liable to? The second is going to be liable to the third. So it's only in this very specific scenario do we then understand how it is that the payment is not going to go 1-2-3, but rather it's going to go 3-2-1. only in this circumstance. So So the Gemara says, okay, but now there's one. Everything we're saying in the Mishnah now is fine with one notable exception, and that is, what if there's a surplus of money? Meaning, what if after having paid out the damages, there's anything left over? So the Mishnah says, well, it goes back to two, and then if there's anything left, it goes back to one, and if there's anything left, it goes back to the original owner. If the case in question over here in our Mishnah is talking about where one grabbed it from two and one becomes a shomer, and two grabbed from one and two becomes now a shomer, and then, so if there's a surplus, so who should that surplus go back to? That surplus should go back to the original owner, meaning because every one of them has assumed by taking the animal full liability. So therefore, if there's a surplus, meaning if after having paid off three, there's any money left over, well, remember, two becomes liable to one, but one becomes liable to the original owner. So really, any surplus money should go back to the original owner. And it shouldn't go back to two, and it shouldn't go back to one. It should go back to the original owner. Am Ravina hachi ketani. Im yesh mnoser b'nezakav yachzir shalafanav. So the Gemara says, well, okay, admittedly that's a problem, but the Gemara says like this. Let's say there is a surplus in, let's say, the Nezek, meaning that two gave it over, I'm sorry, the one took it from the original owner, two took it from one, number one, and let's say after two damaged three, there was a surplus, but surplus over here meaning that it's just a little bit, that which he would have had to have paid number three would not have been the same amount as he would have as one would have had to pay two, meaning that we're talking about the surplus in the damaged amount. If there's any of that, so then that money's going to go back to two. So I'm sorry, that money's going to go back to one, and then, in other words, that's the only difference that we're talking about that can actually go back to the second person to the first person. But above and beyond that, all extra monies of the animal are going to go back to the first owner. And when the Gemara says, when Rav Yochanan learned the Mishnah, and he tried to explain the Shita of Meir, so basically Rav Yochanan said, I'm in agreement. That's the way to understand the Mishnah. Meaning, on the simplest level, if you subscribe to Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint, the payment schedule should be not 3-2-1, but rather 1-2-3. One's the first mortgage holder, two's the second, three's the third. Our Mishnah in Rav Meir's position is talking about where one became a shomer and two became a shomer, and in that circumstance, then the payment schedule is going to be 3-2-1, not 1-2-3. But my Kimta Rabbi Shmuel, so the Gemara says, so really, after all said and done, meaning, so we explained the Mishnah, but we're having to use an Ukimta, a specific scenario. So that means that really, what essentially are we saying after all said and done? Rav Meir subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel. So, Ihachim, a sefer, Rabbi Shimon, Amr, Shor Shavu Masayim, Shanagach, Shor Shavu Masayim, Veinan Avela Yafik, Klum, Zeno Tomana, Vezeno Tomana, Chazav Nagach, Shor Acher, Shavu Masayim, Achron Otamana, Vishalafan of Zeno Tochamishim, Chamishim Zuz, Vezeno Tochamishim Zuz, Chazav Nagach, Shor Shavu Masayim, Achron Otamana, Vishalafan of Noto Chamishim Zuz, Vishnam Rishonim, Dinar Zahav. Okay, I know I read all that quickly. That's just simply repetition of the Mishnah, specifically Rabbi Shimon's position. Also on the Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara's point is now, again, a very simple point, which is that who is Rabbi Shimon subscribing to? He's subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Parenthetical note, Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, meaning we assume normally that Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that his Rabbi is Rabbi Akiva. In that regard, that's good. That's smooth. So the Amar Torah Deshut Fehu. And he's of the opinion that you are partners in the animal. You, the Nizak, become a partner in the animal. Therefore, any subsequent damage, you're going to be responsible for your 50% share of that animal. So, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel V'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. And so now, here's where the Gemara summarizes the question, which is, how did you understand the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah really just now saying over that the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah is really the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Is that really it? So Amre, in. So the Gemara's answer, nice and simple. Yep, that's correct. Daha Amre Le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shena Shvok Masnisan V'sa Basrai. Rabbi Shimon said, Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, and this statement is recorded a number of times. In fact, in Baba Kama earlier, we had the statement of Rabbi Yehuda to Shmuel. Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda's student. Right, Rabbi Yehuda to Rebbeim. First, Rabbi was Rav, and then after Rav died, he then learned by Shmuel. And Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda's student, Shinana, that was his nickname for him, because he was very sharp. He says, stop trying to break your teeth over our Mishnah. Meaning, the simple way to look at our Mishnah is that Reisha Rabbi Shmuel v'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. That the opinion of Rabbi Meir reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And then in the parentheses, now it's in the parentheses, but basically the point is going to be again a repetition of, if you subscribe to Rabbi Kiva and you the Nizak become a de facto owner in the animal, it gives you the right to even be makdish the animal, at least your share in the animal. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, of course you can't, because you're not an owner in the animal. You only have a lien in the animal, but you're not an owner in the animal. Okay, period, ad kan. So we're done. We have a lot more ahead of us. But in terms of the analysis of the Mishnah, that's it. Close the book. The Gemara is done. The machlokus in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, in the schedule of payment of the animal damaged, of the first party, a second party, and a third party. How is the payment going to be? How's the payout going to be? So Rabbi Meir takes Rabbi Shimon's position, which is each person's a lien holder. Why in the Mishnah are we paying in the reverse order of 3-2-1, not 1-2-3? Our Mishnah is talking about a specific scenario in which one becomes the Shomer, two then becomes the Shomer, three becomes the Shomer. Fine. Just 1 and 2, not 3. So one becomes the Shomer and two becomes the Shomer. And then Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah is subscribing to Rabbi Kiva's view. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon and Mishnah subscribing to Rabbi Kiva, which is that each Nizak becomes a partner in the animal, and as a partner now, you're also going to be sharing the liability. That is a bit of a chiddush, as we pointed out already, but fine. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah subscribing to Rabbi Kiva, that yuchlat hashur. Ad kan. From here until the next Mishnah coming up in the top of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to digress just a little bit. Tanan Hasam. Atokeh lechaver nosen lo sela. Rabbi Yehuda amar mishum Rabbi Yosi aglili mana. Okay, if you make a loud noise in your friend's ear, so as we mentioned this earlier, and we're going to talk about this in more detail in the 8th perek. So basically, a schedule of payment of bodily damages, because included in bodily damage, when I damage my friend, so there's also what's called boshes. There's embarrassment, and embarrassment is a bit subjective. How do you monetize embarrassment? We're going to discuss this more in the 8th parak. But basically, to make a long story short, the Chachamim came up with some sort of schedule. They came up with a menu. And so here, in terms of blowing in my friend's ear, making a loud sound in my friend's ear, so machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi Aglili, in terms of how much you pay, Tanakhama says a sela, and Rav Yossi Aglili says a mana. A mana is 100 zuz. Parenthetically, that's a lot of money to pay. But, okay. So, how gavra detakal chavre? So, the Gemara now, and I know we seem to be going off tangent. We are going off tangent, and you'll see why we're going off tangent in just a moment. So, the Gemara tells the story of a person who blew right into his friend's ear, all right, made a loud noise right into his friend's ear, and Shachur Rav Tovia Bar Mas, and Lekamed Rav Yosef, Selatsuri Tanano, Selamedina Tanan. And so, Rav Tovia Bar Masna knew a lot of information, but he got stuck on one point. He knew that there's a schedule. And he knew that that he, as the authority of the Beis Din, is required now to enforce the payment. But what he didn't know is that when we said a Selah, did we mean a Selah Tzuri or a Selah Medina? Now, when we're talking about Selayim, we're talking about coins, and there are basically two different types of coins. There was a coin that was pure silver, and there was a coin which was an alloy of 1/8 silver and then 7/8 of junk metal. Okay, and so copper, was it? Yeah, I think it was copper, right. And so, obviously, that makes a big difference in terms of how much you're required to pay. If you're paying Kesef Tzuri, so that's pure silver. If it's Kesef Medina, so it could be as much of an eighth less in terms of how much you have to pay. That's an important distinction. That's an important point that he didn't know the answer to. So he sent the question, well, which one is it? Meaning, yeah, what do I charge for such damages? Tanan, I'm sorry, Osel Medina Tanan. Amalei Tanisua. So he got an answer back, and he said, I know the answer based on our Mishnah that we just learned. Meaning the first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Baba Kama is going to tell us the answer. How? So, because Shneimer Rishonim Dinar Zav. Because in the schedule of payment of Rabbi Shimon, where there was the first, second, and third Nizak, so we had third Nizak getting 100, the second Nizak getting 50, and the first Nizak and the original owner each getting a dinar. Now, a dinar is reflective of 25 zuz. Now, the Isaac Adaka Tanitana Sela Medina. So now, if we're talking about a Sela, meaning a Sela Medina, Niflug Venisne Atresar Visela. So then, what we could do is we can actually give another scenario, meaning we can introduce a fourth Nizak, and in the fourth Nizak, we can then have the Mishnah saying Tresar Visela, meaning the first one's going to get 100, the next one's going to get 50, the next one after that's going to get 25, and the last two. I don't really mean the last two. I mean the original owner and the first Nizak are going to get Tresar Visela, are going to get 12 Nisela. So if we're talking about Kesef Medina, the Mishnah could have given that illustration. But you see, if the Mishnah was talking about Kesef Tzuri, so then after Dinar, it doesn't break up without using fractions. And just as a general rule, the Mishnah hates Mishnah doesn't hate fractions. That's a silly statement. The Mishnah just doesn't give illustrations with fractions. The Mishnah is only going to give illustrations with round numbers. So, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah stopped at Dinar, meaning that the Mishnah was only dealing with Kesef Tzuri, not Kesef Medina. So, Amalei Tanaki Ruchla, listener Velezel. So the Gemara says, I don't know if that's such a good proof. Meaning, it could very well be that the Mishnah was describing not Kesef Tzuri, but Kesef Medina. Why didn't the Mishnah give an illustration where there were four damaged parties? So, because what do you want the Mishnah to be? You want the Mishnah to be like a peddler? Meaning, the Mishnah gave us the model. The Mishnah now has to spell out every single case scenario? No. We have a model, and then once we have the model, so then if there's a fourth Nizak, so we'll plug it in. If there's a fifth Nizak, we'll plug it in. We don't need the Mishnah to go over every case scenario. So my havi Allah, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Our Mishnah is not a good proof. So, my Havilah is the Gemara's question it always asks when it gets to an impasse. Where do we go from here? So, Pashtu Amihada Amar Rev Yehuda Amar Rav Kol Kesef Amar Betor Kesef Suri Vishol Devrim Kesef Medina. So we go back to the statement of Rav. We've seen the statement already earlier in Shas. Get to see it again today. And that is that when the Torah imposes a payment, Kesef Tzuri. When the Chachamim impose a payment, Kesef Medina. Amalei Ahu Gavra Ho Paga Dezuzu Hu Lo Be'ina Lo Be'ina Nasve La'aniyim. So the person said, so well, how much do I owe? I owe Paga Zuz, I owe a half a Zuz. It's really not worth my while, a half a Zuz. So you know what? Give it to the poor people. Hada Amalei Nisve Ne'ali. So now the aggrieved party says, you know what? I know I said it's not worth it for me for a half zuz. And I know I said give it to the aniyim, but you know what? I take it back. I take back my statement. I want the half zuz. Ezov avri beinafshe. And I'll buy myself with a half zuz. I'm embellishing in the Gemara like a half a cup of chicken soup. I'll heal myself. In other words, I know I declared that I was going to give up the money, but I want the money. Even though it's such a nominal amount. Amalei Rav Yosef, Kvar Zachu Be'anim. So Rav Yosef says it's too late. You're already dedicated to the poor. And Ve'afa Gavdalek Anim, Hacha. Now what are you going to say? Look, I don't know what you're talking about. There was no Kinyan. There's no Ani here in the room. So Rav Yosef says, no problem. Anan Yad Anim Ani. Anan. I am an extension of the poor people. Meaning Rav Yosef says, I'm the Mar da Asra, I'm the head of the community, and the Aniyim look to me, so therefore, I am the hand, I am the collection agency of the Aniyim. Literally, the collection agency. And therefore, once you dedicated this money to the Aniyim, it's as if I already took it. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yisomim. When it comes to orphans, Einan Srichen Prisbol. They do not need a Prisbol at the end of the Shemitah year in order for their loans not to be canceled. V'chein t'ni Rami Bar Chama Hayisomim Einan Srichen Prisbol Rabbi Gamliel Ubeiz Dino Avim Shal Yisomim Hayu. Because orphans have a de facto father, and that is based in. And anyway, what is the institution of Prisbol? It's basically giving over your documents to Beis Din. So Yisomim have a de facto Beis Din. They don't need, therefore they don't need a Prisbol. I don't think so. I meaning, if he has an apotropos, you're saying? I don't know. So v'chein t'ni rami barchama Yisomim in Yisrichim Prisbol. I'm sorry, I just read that. Chanan Bisha. Chanan Bisha, it's a great name. Chanan the Bad. Okay, I don't know how you go around with that name, and I know the story is going to validate his name. it sounds like the Wild West. So yeah, it's right. So Chanan Bisha takale lau gavra. So Chanan Bisha. So he did exactly that. He basically made a loud noise and right in somebody's ear. Asa kama de Rav Huna amalei zil havalei paga duzuzo. So he goes to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says half a zuz. So havalei zuzo macha. He had a zuz. It was worn out. It was not. It was basically currency that was not legal tender. No one would accept it. So by la mitzvah le mine pagda zuza. So he wanted to give it off as a half zuz. Lo hava mishtako le, but he wouldn't take it. In other words, it was not considered good enough. So takale achrina v'yavi ne'ale. So in other words, oh really? So this isn't good enough. So Chanan Bisha goes now to the other ear, claps against the other ear. Okay, good. So that's a half a zuz plus another half a zuz. Here, take the zuz. Okay, and now we know why his name is Chanan Bisha. It kind of lends credence to his name. Okay, let's begin. Okay, we are in the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and basically here becomes now the issue of today, in today's daf. We know that in order to become a muad, so you have to be a repeat offender. And to say it simply, even though we had a machlokas earlier between Rav and Abaye, after two times, after three times, for our purposes, let's keep it so nice and simple. It's let's say that three times makes a muad. And so we are now going to talk about habit-forming behaviors. What is considered a muad? And it's a great discussion over the course of the remainder of this morning, which obviously we're not going to finish today's daf today, but we will certainly get our feet a little bit wet in terms of what is going to be considered habit forming, and just because I have a particular habit to damage one type, does that necessarily mean I'm going to be going after other types as well? And this is the discussion that we're going to have in the Mishnah. Shur shehu muad lemino ve'ino muad l'she'eino mino. Let's say I have an animal that goes after its own type, but not after other types of animals. Let's say it goes after people, but it doesn't go after other animals. Let's say it goes after smaller animals, but it doesn't go after animals that are large. So now the animal is muad, but limited. Meaning it is muad only that after that which it goes after. But if it goes after another type of animal, because its muad state is only designated towards its own type, or whatever it is normally going, what it is accustomed to have gone after, so for that you pay nezek shalem. For all other animals, chatzin nezek. Amulufnei Rabbi Yehuda, harizem mu'ad l'shabbosos ve'enu mu'ad l'chol. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda the following question. Let's say on Shabbos, just a crazed animal. I don't know what's going on Shabbos. But on Shabbos, the animal's attacking people. And then, but during the week, the animal's calm. So Amar lehem l'shabbosos meshalem nezek shalem, l'yemosachol meshalem chatzin nezek. So Rav Yehuda's response is, okay, we now have a case of limited muad, where if the animal attacks on Shabbos, the owner now, it has done so on three consecutive Shabbosim, the owner now knows, on Shabbos, I need to really pen the animal up, and if it goes out and damages, the owner is responsible for full damages. During the week, however, owner is only responsible for chatzin nezek. Emasayutam, and then the Mishnah over here speaks to the idea of rehabilitation. Mishiach Zerbo, Gimel Yemei Shabbosos. In order for it to go revert back to its tam state, it has to now have gone through three Shabbosim with an opportunity to attack somebody and takes a break. If we could just discuss very quickly over here why the animal may have gone crazy on Shabbosim. What is it about Shabbos that makes the animal crazed? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says, so Rashi says, because on Shabbos the animal's not working. We know that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, an isra in the Torah, shvisas behemto. Your animal may not work on Shabbos. So 6 days of the week it's accustomed to working. Shabbos it's not working. So now it doesn't know what to do with itself. And it's literally, Rashi writes, its mind goes crazy. Meaning, doesn't know how to handle the quiet time. Tosfos over here offers a different pshat. Tosfos says, "Harimua l'shabasos mefarsh b'Yushami." Tosfos quotes the Gemara Yushami, "Lefishara osam b'malvushim na'im acherim v'chashuvim be'enav." I'm sorry, "Nachrim ve'eno makirim." The Tosfos quotes the Gemara Yushami. Fantastic pshat. You see, what happens on Shabbos is we wear Shabbos clothing, and we look like totally different people. And from the animal's perspective, I don't know who these people are. And so the animal taking a look now at these people who, you know, my owner I know, that person I don't know. Okay, attack. So that's the Yushami's explanation of why the animals decided that on Shabbos it's going after people. Itmar. We start with the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to be dealing with a really basic question which is going to occupy the remainder of the Amud Lamazayin Amud Aleph. And that is, Rezvid Amar V'eino Muad. Okay. Now, when you look back at the Mishnah, Shur Shuhu Mo'ar Lamino V'eino Muad L'She'eino Mino. Now, that's a very important how to read that first line in the Mishnah. Now, the Rezvid says the way we have in the Mishnah is correct. And that is V'eino Muad L'She'eino Mino. Now, the Vav is critical. Look at the Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara. Why is that Vav so critical? Rashi writes, V'ein mu'ar l'she'enu mi'a di'a di'inan bay de'lo nagach u'kagon de'avrino lehu kameh ve'lo nagach. When the animal starts attacking animals of its own type, do we make an assumption that it's only going after its own type, but it would leave other animals alone? Or do we need to know proof positive that it's not going after other animals? So you see, according to Rav Zvid, you don't make assumptions. Rav Zvid says the only time that we are going to say that it's not going after other animals is only because we actually saw it pass other animals and pass on the opportunity of damaging other animals. Rav Zvid says we'll never make an assumption that it's only going after its own type. So the correct way to read the Mishnah according to Rav Zvid is Shur Shuhu Mu'ar Lamino V'eino Mu'ar L'She'eino Mino. Meaning this is part of definitive statements of what we know. We know that it goes after its own type, and we know that it doesn't go after its after other types. That's Rav Zvid. And then if without any other knowledge, exactly correct, without any other knowledge, we're going to assume across the board that the animal is a muad for every type of animal. And Rav Papa Amar, Eino Muad Tanan. Rav Papa says, no, we make the leap of assumption that if the animal is going after its own type, we're going to assume that it's only going to go after its own type, and we're also going to assume that it is not a mood for other types. Okay. Now, this is an important difference between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. First of all, in terms of the correct gears of the Mishnah, and obviously, even more importantly, is the halachic ramification. Whereas according to Rav Zvid, you are only going to be excused from full damages to other animals only if we know that the animal doesn't damage the other types. Whereas according to Rav Papa, no. Rav Papa's telling you that we're going to make an assumption. And you only are going to be paying full nezek for the animals that it is accustomed to damage, not to the animals that we have never seen it damage. Now, Tanan. And so, from this point going forward to the rest of the Samud, we're going to look at Mishnah, Braisas, in order to see who seems to be more correct. So again, Rav Zvid says, we make no assumptions. Rav Papa says, we'll make assumptions. So, Tanan, Rav Zvid, Amar Veina Muad, Tanan, Hastame Have Muad. So, according to Rav Zvid, look at the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah says, Ve'eino Muad, meaning with the Vav, which means that if we don't know, the animal is going to be a Muad. Rav Papa, Amar, Eino Muad, Tanan, Distam Elo Have Muad. So, and Rav Papa would say, no. The Mishnah is Eino Muad, meaning we'll make the assumption. Rezvid Daik Misefer, Rav Papa Daik Miresha. Rezvid Daik Misefer, now the Gemara says, let's see how Rezvid really learned it from the Mishnah. Diktani Mur Laktani Meinu Mur Lagedolim. Rezvid said, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if it is Muad for smaller animals, it will not be Muad for larger animals. Now, Iyamar Pishlama, Ve'eno Muad Ketani, Hastami Ava Muad. So, Rezvid says, consider that according to Rezvid, we will be making assumptions. Sorry. According to Rezvid, we will not be making assumptions. So the Gemara says, so then you understand why the Mishnah illustrated the scenario of, well, if it damaged smaller animals, so it's not going to damage larger animals. So if you're Rav Zvid, so the Mishnah actually is very good. Because what is Rav Zvid's point? Rav Zvid's point is that we don't make any assumptions. We normally, the only way we will say that it doesn't damage an animal is only if we know it doesn't damage other animals. And what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is the following. Even though the animal is only attacking small animals, and you'll say, look, the animal's a bully. The animal is only going to go after small animals. The Mishnah is there to teach us, no. You can make that argument, but the Mishnah is there to teach us that no. Once you see this animal preying on other animals, and even though it's prey, it's smaller animals, we're going to say that it's going to go after all animals. Meaning, that's a chiddush. But Eli Amartena Muad, Ketani, Stamalo Have Muad. So the Gemara says, but if you're a papa, and Rav Papa says, look, if it only goes after one type, so according to Rav Papa, we will assume that it only goes after that type. So now, according to Rav Papa, what's the Mishnah saying at this point in time? Well, if it goes after small animals, well, it's not going to go after large animals. If you're Rav Papa, that is so obvious. The Mishnah wouldn't need to teach us that point. So according to Rav Papa, the Mishnah has not taught us a single chiddush at that point in time. Because according to Rav Papa, if it goes after one type, which is, let's say, one size, we're going to assume that it only goes after that type, it won't go after another type, even the same size. So now the Mishnah is telling us, so if it goes after small animals, well, we're not going to assume it goes after large animals. According to Rav Papa, of course, that it goes without saying. In fact, it so goes without saying, why would the Mishnah even need to say that? So for Rav Papa, Amalacha, it's Rech Sakadat Chamina, Ho, Paritz Bay, Bahu Mina, Paritz Bay, Veloshna Gedolim Diday, Veloshna Gedolim Diday. Kamash Milan, Delo Havimur. So the Gemara says, well, if you're Rav Papa, excuse me, you will inject a Chiddush in the Mishnah. Well, look, it's going after smaller animals, so maybe you can make the argument, this animal has really abandoned ship in terms of its normal behavior. And you could have made the arguments, well, since it's going after the smaller animals, so then maybe we can assume then that it's going to go after larger animals, and Rav Papa says, and we're not going to assume that. So in other words, Rav Papa will inject some sort of chiddush. Rav Papa daik mireisha, diktani mor la adam eino mor la behema. Now Rav Papa says, well, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah is that let's say the animal goes after people. We won't assume that it goes after other animals. Now, Rav Papa says, they'll say you say I'm right. Let's assume I'm right, which is that if you see the animal going after a certain type, we will assume it only goes after that type and not after other types. So then the Mishnah has to teach us the following. The animal's going after people. Now, generally speaking, animals are afraid of people. Rashi over here says it's a function of mazel. However you're going to explain it, but we know, the reality is that animals are afraid of people. If an animal is attacking a person, You can easily make the argument of, well, if he's attacking people, for sure this animal is going to be attacking other animals as well. So Rav Papa says, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though it's attacking people, and it's not prone to do so, we're going to say that it only attacks people and it doesn't attack other animals. Meaning Rav Papa says, that's a tremendous chiddush, and you understand the Mishnah's chiddush if I'm right. But let's say Rav Zvid is right. And that is that in order to say that it doesn't attack other types, you have to know it doesn't attack other types. So according to Rav Zvid, if this animal is attacking people, so from Rav Zvid's standpoint, if it's attacking people, of course it's going to be attacking other animals. Meaning, for Rav Zvid's standpoint, there's no chiddush here whatsoever. So the Gemara says, Rav Zvid amalecha resha achazarakai. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Zvid says you didn't understand. The Mishnah over here is not talking about what's making it a muad. The Mishnah over here is talking about rehabilitation. Kagan. Davei muad la'adam or muad la'behema. Let's say the animal did not discriminate. And the animal attacked people and the animal attacked other animals. V'hadar be'behema. And then we've noticed a change in the nature of the animal. Animal has been passing by other animals and laid off. And laid off three separate times. Now, so the Gemara says, now here in rehabilitation, well, it's still attacking people, so maybe we will ignore the fact that it's been laying off other animals. That's the chiddush. Kamash Milan, the chazar de behema mi chazarahu. So no, that's the chiddush according to Rav Zvid. That the fact that it laid off other animals, even though it's still attacking other people, it still is a limited rehabilitation, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Meisvei. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Simchas omer mu'ad la'adam mu'ad la'behema mikavachomer ma la'adam mu'ad la'behema l'kol shekein. Look, if the animal's attacking people, says Simchas, it's for sure going to attack other animals. And in fact, again, the kavachomer. If it's attacking people and it's not prone to do so, so for sure it's going to be attacking other animals. Now, if Simchas is making that leap, Simchas is arguing with the Tanakama, and the Tanakama is not making that leap. So, Rav Papa says, good for me. Meaning because I say that when it attacks one type, we won't assume that it attacks other types. So that's great for me. But according to you, Rav Zvid, according to you, Rav Zvid, so how did you understand that? Amar le Rav Zvid, Simchas achazarukai. So again, Rav Zvid will tell you, you misunderstood Simchas. He's not talking about what makes it a muad. Because what makes it a muad is if it attacks one type, we'll assume that it attacks all types. Well, the only thing Simchas was talking about was rehabilitation. V'hachi kamar le latanakama. De kamar chazar de behema chazarihi, chazar de behema lav chazarihi. So the Gemara says, what about limited rehabilitation? So mikava chomer. So Simchas is not a believer in limited rehabilitation. Meaning, let's say the animal's laying off other animals, but still attacking people. So Simchas says to the Tchachamim, I don't believe in limited rehabilitation. So me'adam lo kamahadar bay me'behem lo kol shekein. Because if it's still attacking people, it's still going to, even though I know it's laid off animals for some time, but if it's attacking something which it normally doesn't attack, it's still going to attack other animals as well.
But does the reverse, if it doesn't attack people, then he will assume that it doesn't attack the animals?
Maybe that'd be true. But in other words, but we're not talking about what's making it a muad. The only thing Simchas and the Chacham we're talking about is on the reverse. Okay. Amar Rav will do one more and then we'll stop. Amar Rav Ashi Tashma. So the students say to Rabbi Yehuda, what are the animals attacking every Shabbos, but during the week they don't attack? Again, for the reasons which we talked about in the Mishnah, it doesn't like not working on Shabbos, or because of the way people are dressed. But anyway, the students are asking Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's response is, okay, so the animals are limited muad, meaning for Shabbos the animals are muad. 6 days of the week the animals are tam. Now if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Zvid, and that the correct way to understand the Mishnah is v'eino mishalem, which means that in order for the animal not to be a muad, we don't assume, we have to know. So the Gemara says, Shiyulu du kamashailalei, Vahana mikamahadalei. So then you understand the give and take. The students were asking Rabbi Yehuda this very question, and Rabbi Yehuda's response is, yes. In order for the animal to be considered a limited muad, you have to know that it attacks on Shabbos, and you have to know that it doesn't attack during the week. But however, if you subscribe to Rav Papa's viewpoint, the students are not asking Rabbi Yehuda a question, they're actually telling Rabbi Yehuda. So, Agmar hu de kamagmarle. So first of all, the Gemara says, you think the students are teaching the Rebbe a lesson? Like, that's weird. And Vesu, Ihu Mai Kamahadur Lahu. And if they're not asking a question, so then what's Rav Yehuda answering? Amar Avyana Mireshan Namideka. Diktani Echemu Allah Mishal Nezek Shalim. Ve Echeinamu Allah Mishalim Chati Nezek. And the Gemara says, and again, read the middle of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, that which it's accustomed to damage, you pay Nezek Shalim. That which it's not accustomed to damage, Chati Nezek. Imar Bishlama Ve Einamu Ad Kitani Perushikam Mefarishla. So then I understand that what the Mishnah is doing is explaining. In order for the animal to be considered a limited muad, it's not enough to assume, you have to know that it doesn't damage other animals. So paskamai. But if Rav Papa's right that we're making assumptions, well then, I don't understand. How in the Mishnah can we make, why would the Mishnah need to repeat its point of, well, that which you know it damages, full nezek. That which you don't know, in other words, the Mishnah at that point in time is telling us something which is repetitive in nature and didn't even need to be articulated. My paska my su echemu alom mishalom nezek shalem ve'shenem mishalom ve'shenem alom mishalom chatzin nezek ad hashal lo hashmin and dahasam mishalom chatzin nezek umur mishalom nezek shalem. Now, at this point in time, the Gemara has significantly favored the opinion of Rav Zvid, which is that in order for to call an animal a limited muad, we don't assume, you have to know that it attacks this type and it doesn't attack that type. And so after going through all the Mishnayos and the Braisos, where we stand right now in the Gemara is, we're showing a favoritism to Rav Zvid's position. Tomorrow when we begin the bottom of the Amud, we'll see that the Halacha won't necessarily agree with Rav Zvid.